Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Welcome into Thunder and Lightning postgame live here on YouTube. I'm Brian Haydad. We are presented by Paul Davis Restoration and Stones Jewelers in Tupelo. Whether it's water, fire, mold, storm, or play calling damage, Paul Davis Restoration is here to help you recover. Their expert team provides fast professional service to restore your home or business to its original condition. But they don't stop at just restoration. They offer property improvement services to make your space better than ever. Because your recovery and property improvement are their priorities. Call them at 662-769-7285. Let them bring your property back to life. If you're in Starkville, the Golden Triangle, or in Tupelo, call Paul Davis Restoration. Woo! God. Guys. So, first off, let me apologize here. This is two streams in a row. We've had these technical issues at my studio. I don't know what's going on there. We're going to work to get this all fixed so that I can stop having to make my poor family sit in silence while I do this stuff with you guys. I'd rather do it at work. But my apologies. I hate having to do the start, stop kind of thing. But here we are. Final score, 23-21. This is the kind of loss that, and you're seeing some stuff in the chat there. This is the kind of loss that erodes your support, okay? Because you do everything wrong for basically three quarters. Then in the fourth quarter, you do everything. You made me laugh, Andy. You made me laugh. Everything wrong for three quarters. You get it going in the fourth quarter. You're right there. All you've got to do is do the simplest thing in the world, and instead you make it complicated. And it was a combination of you did some good things in the fourth quarter, the other team did some bad things in the fourth quarter that you took advantage of. All you've got to do there is run the football, have your field goal team ready to go out there at a moment's notice. Chances are highly likely that they're going to call timeout because they want to try to save some of the clock, in which case that's fine. Go out there. Get set to kick the field goal. Kick the field goal. And if you've got 15 seconds left, just trust your defense not to give up a Hail Mary. That's all it is. That's all you've got to do. Jimmy S. Griffin, don't be stupid is rule number one. I can't get over how bad a decision that was. And I don't even care. I haven't seen what they've said in postgame. Let me see if I can find it. Let me see here. I would have bought a round at Two Brothers if this one hadn't worked, by the way. We could have all had some had a beer together. I haven't seen anything that of what Lebby said or of anything like that. But there's no explanation that he can give that will make what happened there acceptable. That is total poor coaching. He has to know that all he has to do is run the football. You don't have a timeout. So have your field goal team ready just in case they don't call timeout. Chances are they will, but again, it's Billy Napier on the other side. He's already made a really terrible decision just a few minutes ago. He might just say, hey, we'll let the clock run down and see if they miss the field goal. They've already missed one tonight. Maybe he wants to play the odds like that. So be it. Have your field goal team ready. You think back a couple of years ago when TCU was making that run to the national title. You remember that game they had against Baylor, where they didn't have a timeout and they just ran the field goal team on there and they got everybody set? They had less time than Mississippi State was going to happen there. That's a good point, Bill. You could just go up there and clock it. You could just QB sneak it straight ahead with Camario or Blake or whatever. Instead, that's just an absolute inexcusable decision by Jeff Lebby. Inexcusable to allow that to happen. But in doing so, Mississippi State drops 15 straight now SEC games. And you know, you can play the, you know, they didn't deserve to be in that position anyway. And you're probably correct. They played really poorly from the first drive on. I thought the sequence with Camario in the first quarter or the second quarter was just weird, where they just ran it with him three straight times. And then they pulled him out to give it to Chapin just to run it one more time. I have no idea what the play calling is there. I understand, you know, we talked all week. We're like, hey, well, you got to find more play calls for this guy. You got to find more situations for him. But if it's just going to be, hey, run him straight up the gut, then you're wasting everybody's time. I just can't get over. I can't get over that decision to throw the ball there. And don't, you know, Chapin has to take some of the blame there. You got to be completely safe with that pass. You can't for 1 second think that this is near a defender. I'm either throwing it out of bounds or I'm throwing it to a guy who's wide open. Wide open. It was four straight, Bill. You're correct. And once again, even, you know, the yardage doesn't really tell you this, but you gave away another good defensive effort. You only gave up 23 points. That should be enough to win. You threw away a effort from Brian Lanier, who he could be the SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Two picks and had that huge sack there at the end. Steven Pritchett, there's no way Chapin didn't see that huge lineman sitting there. I mean, I tend to agree. You know, they dropped him. They dropped him back there, and I'm seeing it, guys. I'm seeing it in the chat here. Y'all's faith has been eroded. You know, you want to believe in this guy so badly because you need continuity here at Mississippi State. You absolutely just need it. But you're not going to be in a situation where you can have it. And so you make a terrible decision, and now you gave away a game. You just gave it away. And, man, it is going to be a tough road now for Mississippi State. You can't have any real expectation now of the postseason. All right. You can now, if you want to be a person who says, oh, they're going to still win six, they'll beat Arkansas, and you're saying that on blind faith. You're saying that because it makes you feel better inside. You're not saying that because of anything you've seen on the field, right? For you to say that they're going to go 6-6, beat Arkansas, and then either beat Texas, who's playing much better, Georgia, who offensively is very, very good. Defensively, I don't know what they are after today. Missouri is really good. And then you're going to have to play Ole Miss. And, you know, and you also still have to beat Arkansas, by the way. I just don't understand. I don't. This is a game that we might look back at next year and say this is where it went wrong. And he was one more play away from the complete opposite of me coming on here and being like, they found a way, just like they did against Arizona State, and now they're going to get to six. It's incredible how fine the margins are. And this is something we've been talking about, right? That Mississippi State is a team, the margins are so fine for them. They have to fight for every inch. There's no gimme game. They had one gimme game this year. It was against Alcorn. That's it. And so here you are. A lot of you guys are asking, you know, my thoughts on Lebby. I cannot in good conscience sit here. How many games in now? 7 plus 12, 19 games in, and say you should pull the plug. But at the same time, do I have a lot of faith that this is going to get turned around? No, I don't. Not at this point. Because you can't make a mistake like that and expect me as a, you know, from either side of what I do, right? From the fan side or from the analyst side, I can't watch a play call like that, watch a game decision like that, and come away and say, oh, yeah, this is still the guy. I can't. I won't. So I don't know what's going to happen now. You know, I don't know how this is all going to play out anymore. You know, I see that this team is better than it was last year. It really is. But they still don't know how to win. And maybe that's one of those things where, you know, once they win one, the dam would break. And I'll be honest with you, if they had won tonight, you could have easily convinced me they were going to win seven, to be honest with you. But now, I mean, they'll be doing really good to get to five. They'll be doing really good if they can beat Arkansas. I haven't seen the Arkansas score in the past couple of minutes. I'll pull up a scoreboard here, and we'll go over that for just a minute. You know, and Shapen's stat line is deceiving in this game. You know, he completes 67% of his passes, 324 yards. But the incompletions, and of course he has the one interception right there at the end. The incompletions, though, are what kill you. Thompson has 7 catches for 155 yards. Could have had 8 or 9 catches, 9 or 10 catches for 240 yards. Anthony Evans, 11 catches for 107. But he misses, what, 2 long passes to Thompson that could have easily been touchdowns. He missed the one to Jerron Glover there in the end zone. Could have been a touchdown. By the way, I understand how halftime shows work and stuff. You can't have a ladder within 5 yards of the end zone, guys. Somebody very lucky that Jerron Glover didn't break an ankle. Unbelievable. Just not smart. Just nothing smart happening today. So Shapen doesn't play very well. Devon Booth was great. 22 carries, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. Gaten, 4.5 per carry, but he has that crucial fumble. And after that, you don't see him again until the fourth quarter. People are asking about the field goal. I don't know how in this day and age of college football, where you can review literally almost everything, it feels like everything gets reviewed, that you can't review a field goal. I thought it was good at first glance. I see where they're coming from. Maybe like it did a Hazelwood almost, right? Where it just goes right over the upright. But I thought, you know, that's supposed to be good. Need VAR. I get that reference, Aaron. I don't know how many other people here in the chat do, but I don't know. Where is Bill Reno? Okay, TNL officiating correspondent Bill Reno. You can review if it's below the top of the upright. Well, I don't know. Yeah, but all scoring replays are reviewed too. I don't know, man. I thought it was good. I feel really bad for Kyle Ferry, though, because he had a chance for redemption, and it got taken away from him at the end. This is a really tough loss to come back from for Mississippi State. This is a gut punch loss. This is the kind of loss that will beat you twice. I will be pretty surprised if State comes out and gives a great effort next week. And that's something, you know, we've talked about a lot on the show is that State has been able to compartmentalize things and move on to the next game. I don't know about this one, man. I think this is one that's going to linger for quite some time. And I don't know. Was he worried that Kyle wouldn't have made the field goal? You can't think like that. You can't. You got to play the percentages, play the odds. The odds are in your favor to run the football there and kick a field goal. And if you miss and you guys, you're in the chat. You tell me. You say yes or no to this question. If he runs the ball and you kick the field goal and you miss the field goal, you can live with that, right? I could have lived with that. I've been like, you know what? He missed the field goal, but you could live with that. And that's what everybody's saying. Yes, yes, yes. Feels like a Daniel Bryan moment in here. You could absolutely live with missing the field goal. It happens, man. It would have been a tough break. You'd hate it for Kyle Ferry. But dang it, that's just how football goes. Somebody says, no, you're just lying. You're just LaRod 72. You're just trying to be a contrarian. Exactly, Aaron Burrell here. If you fumble there, you can live with it. What you can't do what they did. You can't do what they did, and they did that. And now instead of a win that would have been so big for this program, to move forward, to get into postseason play, to get some momentum. Goodness. Thoughts on Shapen starting moving forward. He did not, I mean, this is becoming a trend, right? His stat line is interesting, right? He's 24 for 36, 67% completion rate, no touchdowns, 1 pick, 324 yards passing. So he has 10 carries for just 1 yard. But you and I both know that if you watch the game, he had a couple of good runs in that game. It's just the sacks. By the way, Florida, once again, a team that had 9 sacks coming in, has 4 sacks in this game. I mean, here's what I'll say about it. This is all I'll say. If you're going to – I'm playing Camario a little bit more than we're playing him. All right? That needs to happen. Absolutely. And I'm playing him like for real. I'm not just like, okay, run it up the middle. Okay, run the QB power again. Okay, run QB power again. We're not doing that. But I know for a fact that they're not going to make a change. They're just not going to. So it really is a moot point to me. I get where y'all are coming from. I understand the frustration. But, I mean, what can you do? He's just not going to make a change. Battered Bulldog. Ball transferred to State on my dynasty. I gave us bad juju. I'm sorry. I will say this. Well, Reese M. Treat Chapin and Taylor like Mertz and Lagway. Yeah. Or, I mean, just like Florida did with Tebow all those years ago. You know, they found spots for him. And it wasn't just always run up the middle. Has Levy not done postgame yet? I see somebody mentioning it in the chat. Has he not come out and spoke yet? There's some hard questions being asked in the chat here. Why do we pass? Why are we State fans? He hasn't come out yet. Okay, he has. I just want to know what he said. Let me call up old Sam Sklar here. Since I know he's down in Gainesville. Let's see if he's got anything. Nope, he hasn't tweeted in over an hour. What about our buddy Colin Dams? By the way, if you don't follow Colin, you should. He's the new beat writer for the Columbus Commercial Dispatch. Also a big soccer guy. Had nothing from the press conference. So I'll check it out later. I'm sure I'll find something. He said he loved the play call. God, come on, Jeff. Jeff, you're allowed to say that's a mistake. You can't say that. You gotta wear that. You just gotta come out and say, I made a mistake. You know, and I'm gonna ask you guys. I'll ask another yes or no question. There's no way you just be like, all right, total forgiveness, right? There's no way. But if he comes out and he says, yeah, in that situation, I've got to be smarter. We should have just run the football there and kicked the field goal. That's on me. I'll wear that. My mistake. You at least can say, well, at least he took responsibility, right? What would it take for Chapin to be injury? Honestly, there's no way I would sit there and say, all right, so it's a little more mixed on this one. It'll make you feel better. What if the kicker misses? If the kicker misses, LaRod, then you live with that one. Field goals get missed. You live with that decision because that's the right decision. Statistically, probability-wise, running the football and kicking a field goal was the right decision there. If Jeff loved the play call, then he must hate the execution. I'm sure that's what he'll say. But yeah, you did not give your team and where is it right here? I just saw Brady Bowling. He didn't give our kicker the chance to win the game. Don't say kicker. Say team. He didn't give his team the best chance to play. All right, dude. What didn't say what when Leach was coaching? I'm done. It's mute time, buddy. Have a good one. I'm not dealing with I'm not dealing with you anymore. And you're just trolling, so we'll just move on with that. The fan base being split on a coach is devastating for this program. It is, and it's been this way now. I mean, even with Leach, there was never 100% buy-in with Leach until his last game. And when he beat Ole Miss in that game, everybody was on board. I think with Arnett, you had a lot of buy-in early, but it is, you know, what it is. He didn't have it for very long. With Levy, you didn't have it for very long. You know, you had the first game, and then it was that. Now it's a lot. It's very negative. It's definitely very negative right this second. People are saying it's not. It's probably 70-30, fire him. It is. It is probably. But, you know, you're only as good as your next game. I don't want to do a poll, Chris. I'm not much for a poll. Let's do our Stones Jewelers Diamond of the Game. Let's definitely do that because there is a player who deserves some credit today. Since 1976, Stones Jewelers has been the trusted name for exquisite, one-of-a-kind pieces. Whether it's a stunning engagement ring, a timeless watch, or a custom-designed necklace, their expert jewelers will help you find something as unique as the person you're celebrating. Stop by and see their beautiful collection at 709 West Main Street in Tupelo. That's Stones Jewelry. Downtown Tupelo, you'll find the perfect piece to make any moment special. When you think of jewelry, think of stones. Our stones jewelry diamond of the game. It's got to be Brylan Lanier. Great game for that young man. Two picks, including a really impressive one there at the end of the first half, I thought. And then he has the big sack that sets things up for him. Had a couple of options here. Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans both could have been in this one. Devon Booth, couple touchdowns. But I was really impressed by Brylan Lanier. And his plays were so big for Mississippi State. So I'll definitely go. Brylan Lanier is our Stones Jewelry diamond of the game. It really is something, by the way, that all three states of state's losses I can put on the offense? Like, I know they scored 34 points, but the offense also gave away 14 in the two games against Tennessee. Obviously, these last two games. I mean, the defense has played well enough to win all of these games. That is a statement that absolutely just blows my mind. I can't get over how much better the defense is than it was a season ago. Offense is not, it's just not great. You know, and again, from a yardage perspective, 468 yards, you should have more touchdowns. You should have more points on the board than that, but they don't. And so here we are. That's just an awful loss. There's just no getting around that fact. I'm going to get a SEC scoreboard up here while we're waiting on stuff here. What is this, week 8 in the SEC? Some games that make you scratch your head today for sure. Starting in Nashville, where LSU is not right, guys. And we might be adding Brian Kelly to the list very, very soon. Final score there, Vanderbilt beats LSU 31-24. Oklahoma all over South Carolina. The Gamecocks, they're well on their way to a losing season, which is they were a preseason top 20 team. Oklahoma, nice little bounce back. Still not great offensively there, though, so we'll see where they go. But 26-7 is the final score there. Over in Athens, the game of the day, Ole Miss led throughout, but Georgia has a strong fourth quarter. They outscore the Rebels 17-0 in the fourth quarter to win 43-35. Trinidad Chambliss, good game for him. He threw for a touchdown, ran for two more, over 300 yards of total offense, but in the end, the Ole Miss defense doesn't get the job. And that was the difference for Ole Miss last year, is they were so much better defensively, but not this time around. Games currently going on in Fayetteville. Arkansas can score, guys. That game is not a gimme game by any stretch. But Texas A&M has a 45-35 lead on the Hogs with not much time left there in the fourth quarter, from what I can tell. It's halftime in Lexington, only a 7-0 lead for Texas. I tell you, this is what hurts so much about today, guys, is that you look at these games and you look at these teams and you're like, State could beat them, but you can't have a lot of faith in there. There's another game going on. Alabama's on right now. Yes, 7-7 in the second quarter. Alabama and Tennessee are tied up. And also one more to score in the second quarter. Auburn is beating Missouri. Well, we'll see how that goes. That's my executive lock of the week. I hope the Missouri Tigers come back. Speaking of Tennessee, just real quick while we're here. If you got an emoji, you want to do a thumbs up, thumbs down, do whatever you want. Tony Vitello to the San Francisco Giants, your thoughts. I want to hear those. Oh, Missouri just scored? All right, cool. Very good. I saw that. I was just like, that's something. Tennessee, I guess they'll just promote. we get some good emojis happening here. I guess they'll just promote Elander. That's hard to believe that Elander was like on the some of the early hot boards for State, and now he may just have the job at Tennessee. I just got a funny text that I can't tell y'all about, but let's just say somebody reached out. They were like, "I wish I was with you." Let's just say that. All right. Anything else we need to get out of the way here? This is a really hard loss, and it's going to be really tough for Mississippi State to come back from it, and it's going to be really hard for Mississippi State to make the postseason now. And so here we are, and we will all move forward together, though. So sports, Thunder and Lightning tomorrow, Sports Talk Mississippi on Monday, and plenty more to talk about. Is USM winning? I predicted all three Mississippi schools to win today. And when I last looked, they were winning, but it was really close. And okay, they won. So at least one team won. I mean, I say at least one team, not like I care, but at least one, I got one prediction right, I guess. So they covered. I told you that if you listen to my picks, I said take Ole Miss in the points. I said take State in the points. I got that right, I guess. So, all right, guys. I see a lot of you wanting me to do up a hot board. We're gonna hold off on that for just a little while. We'll talk about potential candidates if we ever get there. I don't think that's gonna be a case. That's gonna be the case anytime soon. Talk to you guys. Bill Reno, 333 is a Hall of Fame batting average. You're correct. You're absolutely correct. All right, guys. Talk to you tomorrow on Thunder and Lightning. Appreciate you very much for joining me. Sorry again about all the technical issues, but such is life. Talk to you later, guys. This has been Thunder and Lightning post-game brought to you by Stones Jewelry and Paul Davis Restoration.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.